When there is news around the NFL, the Bull and the Fox trust the man from the Monday Morning Quarterback. It's time for Albert Breer on the official radio home of the Cleveland Browns. Sports Radio 92.3, The Fan.
You heard that intro. We weren't planning to have Albert on today, but as soon as the news broke, obviously there's no better person around the league to talk to than Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised were you about this news with the Browns and Kareem Hunt today?
Yeah, I'm surprised by the timing, guys. I thought, like, I really thought that whatever team signed him would wait to see what the sanctions were going to be before doing it. You know, that said, and sometimes these things move a little faster than you might expect, and it can have to do with teams wanting to, you know, have their plans for unrestricted free agency, which is still about a month away, in place, and understand where the market is in certain positions. And so, you know, I think this is probably partially the Browns looking at it, seeing an opportunity, a player that obviously John Dorsey has some background with, and saying to themselves, you know, we can buy low on this kid and give ourselves some insurance, you know, with Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson already there. And, you know, you hope you get a high-end return there. And I think the other part of it, too, is, you know, like a big part of, you know, what you see with a lot of these young quarterbacks is building up the running game around them so you don't have to put too much pressure on them on a week-to-week basis. And this, you know, obviously would help in that regard, too.
Yeah, there's no question. If he gets back on the field, that he would help the offense. Yep. Albert, the Browns have a female owner in Dee Haslam, who's also on the chairman, I guess I should say, or on the board for the domestic abuse for the NFL. How much do you think that factors in? I'm assuming she had to sign off on this along with her husband, Jimmy Haslam.
Yeah, and I think the experience that John Dorsey has probably plays into it too. They were not shy about taking risks in Kansas City. I mean, they drafted Tyreek Hill when a lot of other teams looked at him as radioactive. And, you know, to his credit, and look, I don't want to minimize what happened with Tyreek Hill when he was in college at all, but to his credit, Tyreek Hill has turned himself around and now is in a position to get a huge second contract. And so, you know, I think the feeling was that Dorsey's got a good sense for people and has, you know, just an understanding of how to navigate these situations, and that part of it probably helped. But I would say this, guys, there are some teams out there where this is a third rail type thing, and they won't touch anyone who's been involved in one of these cases. And I think there are a lot of teams that would claim to. There are fewer teams that actually follow through with that and say, we are not taking anybody who's been involved with anything like this. And so, you know, clearly from an image standpoint for the Browns, this shows that they're a team that isn't zero tolerance and that sort of thing. And, you know, from an image standpoint, that's something that, of course, you know, now becomes, you know, part of the deal with them because, you know, now we know that there is, you know, there are sort of shades of gray as far as what they're willing to do and bring guys in with this sort of pass.
You know, I'm really disappointed today, Albert. I've been saying that all along, and I understand, you know, we have fans, and I've done this as a fan as well, where I'm like, oh, I'm disgusted by this player, and then he scores a touchdown for my team, and
yep.
I'm not rooting against a player, and yet I still feel bad about it. I can understand that, but every time one of these signings happen, you get a segment of every fan base that defends the actions, which is just disgusting to me,
right.
Maybe to make themselves feel better about it. Overall, I feel kind of sad about this, and especially because Nick Chubb is here and so good. It
yeah.
seems like an excess, which obviously, listen, if they're on the field, Albert, unless Le'Veon Bell signs with the Rams
right.
or the Giants or the Saints, it's the best 1-2 punch in football, no doubt. But was it necessary to do this when you had a guy like Nick Chubb?
I think that part of the reason why you do it is because you have Nick Chubb, right? Because, I mean, look, in these sorts of situations, you want to buy low on the player, okay? And they're buying low on the player. They got him on a one-year deal that's worth under $1 million, right? And the reason you want to buy low on the player is because you don't want to become reliant on him. And you don't want to be, you know, in the middle of the season. This sort of happened with Josh Gordon in New England, and they obviously were able to pick up the pieces, but they became reliant on Josh Gordon because he's a really good player. You know, and then they had to sort of reconfigure who they were on offense after, you know, after he went back into rehab. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if you're going to bring in a guy like this, you want to buy low on them. And so part of that is the price that you pay and being able to get out of it contractually. But part of it is also having infrastructure around the player where, you know, if you're going to roll the dice on them, you're not totally screwed if you lose them. And so I actually think from that standpoint, this one actually does make some sense, where it's like, you know, if you're a team and you're looking at bringing in Kareem Hunt, you don't want to be overly reliant on him based on what's happened over the course of the last couple of years. You want to be in a position where if you have to cut bait, you can. And certainly you look at the contract and you look at the depth chart, the Browns are in a position to do that.
If you're Dorsey, how do you spin this to the fans?
I mean, you spin it to the fans by saying that, yeah, I mean, and I'm sure you're going to hear this. He's talking at the bottom of the hour, right?
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sure you're going to hear how seriously they take these sorts of cases and how important it is to everyone in the organization and how they do education on it and all those sorts of things. So I'm sure you're going to hear the same stuff that everybody else, you know, I'm sure you're going to hear the same stuff that anyone else would say in this sort of situation. I understand, too, where, you know, it may fall on deaf ears for some people. There are going to be some people that, whether they've been affected by this sort of thing or not, they're going to look at it and they're going to say to themselves, well, wait a second. You know, you say you take it so seriously, but here we are 8 days into the offseason. You couldn't wait to sign the guy. So how does one thing match the other? And I think it's fair to ask that question, you know. So my expectation is we'll hear how seriously they take these sorts of cases, how much research they did, how John Dorsey has background with the kid from Kansas City, of course, and, you know, how they view him right now as far as, you know, where he is with his problems. But I can tell you this, like, when he was coming out and through his first couple of years in the league, he was great in the building, very, very well-mannered, hardworking, all that different stuff, right? But there were issues with alcohol and there were issues with anger management. So those are the things that really need to be taken care of. And whether or not they've been taken care of to a suitable level, I'm not sure anybody in the Browns building can truly know. You hope,
that's right,
but don't know.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, Dustin has made the point a couple of times today, and I wholeheartedly agree with him. That not only should the Browns – now, you said the Browns don't have a zero-tolerance policy. They haven't, because you talked about John Dorsey drafting Tyreek Hill. He drafted Antonio Callaway, not domestic violence, but, you know, the guy's been in trouble a bunch of times. But Dustin has suggested, and I agree, that there's got to be less than a zero tolerance. You talk about alcohol issue and anger management issue. Like, if the Browns find out Kareem Hunt's in the club at 11 o'clock in downtown Cleveland – I think even something right. like that, you probably have to move on. He's got to be home and on the field. That's it.
And if this ownership group didn't learn that and having Johnny Manziel, then I'm not sure they ever will. Right? Like, if they didn't learn that, like, you can't blow through those stop signs, because the organization, you guys know this as well as anyone, the organization blew through a lot of stop signs on Johnny Manziel, both before they got him in the building and after they got him in the building. And if they didn't learn from that, I'm not sure they ever will learn. And so – This is a completely different situation than Manziel, because you are buying low on him. If you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're going to give him second chances because you want it to work out.
Yeah.
Whereas when you bring in a guy in a one-year, $1 million deal, if he screws up, it's much easier to say, hey, you're out of here. If he starts playing well and something happens, that's where, you know, it sort of becomes, all right, like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Like, if the guy goes out and has a great start to the season, and, you know, say he rushes for 100 yards in four of the first six games, he beats Nick Chubb to be the starter, and then all of a sudden you see him on a Friday night at 11 o'clock, what do? You know, that's where these decisions can be difficult. But I think they have to draw very, very – I'm with you guys on that. Like, I think they have to draw, like, just very bright red lines and say, you're not crossing this line, you're not crossing that line, and if you do, you're out of here.
What do you think this means for Duke Johnson long term?
Well, he got paid already, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
I mean, he's
an asset.
I wouldn't be all that concerned about it. I know, part of where he fits in that backfield was, you know, sort of as the gadget back. And Kareem Hunt can do some of those things, you know? And so I don't really view this as like a mark against Nick Chubb, a mark against Duke Johnson. I look at it more as like, hey, this is a one-year dice roll. If he gets out of this year and plays really well, it costs you $4 or $5 million to tender him as a restricted free agent. So then you either flip him into a draft pick, or you pay him for one more year and he's gone. And so because Kareem Hunt is there on a year-to-year basis, I just it's hard for me to look at it and say, this is going to have some huge effect on Nick Chubb, or this is going to have some huge effect on Duke Johnson. Until he really establishes himself in Cleveland, I think they have to worry about getting the ball a little bit less, but I don't know that it goes much beyond that.
Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Albert, you know, I've said a couple of times that the Browns' expectations have really gone through the roof, that playoffs are expected, whether that's fair or not. I think, in a way, and tell me if you think I'm right or wrong on this, that John Dorsey realizes that he has got so many good players at well under market value prices because they're all on rookie contracts, right? And that even though you're thinking, well, Baker Mayfield could be great for 15 years for the Browns, that this next 3-4 years might actually be their best window to be really good, right? And maybe they go all out and try to trade for Beckham and do that stuff and get crazy and load the team up with as much talent as possible now.
Well, look at the position the Rams are in now, right? Okay, so the Rams have Goff going into year four now. Do you pay him now? They've got free agents in Ndamukong Suh and Dante Fowler and Roger Saffold. Andrew Whitworth might retire. And now they've got a budget going forward. Todd Gurley's cap number's about to jump. Aaron Donald's cap number next year goes through the roof. Brandon Cook's cap number jumps next year. And so now all of a sudden, all these guys that they've had on the cheap, it's allowed them to sort of supplement with free agents. It's going to become harder and harder for them to continue to supplement that way. And so what ends up happening is, you know, instead of having your young core on the cheap and then being able to go out and buy all these free agents, now all of a sudden that young core becomes expensive, and then you turn around and you have to draft really well around those guys for your role players, right? And so the Browns are in a good position now. And as we've seen with other teams across the league, that thing lasts about 2 or 3 years where, okay, we've got a young quarterback, and now we can spend around him. And we know this isn't going to last forever, so we need to take advantage of it. And it's no mistake, guys, it's no mistake that the last 2 years we've seen teams in that position in the Super Bowl, the Eagles in 2017 and the Rams this year. I think the Jets are in that position. The Browns are in that position. The Cardinals and the Bills to a lesser degree, because I think I'd be a little less sure about their quarterback if I were them. But, you know, they're in that position as well where you don't have that huge quarterback contract on your books, and you got some good young players that haven't gotten paid yet. You can take advantage of it by paying some guys, putting some guys around them, and trying to compete for a Super Bowl early in that young quarterback's career.
Albert, Antonio Brown, odds that he gets traded, and is there a chance Odell Beckham gets traded?
I think there's going to be a lot. Okay, so I'll start with Brown, because I think Brown's sort of separate. I don't think it's impossible that the Steelers hammer out something and make it work with Antonio Brown, just because I think they recognize Ben Roethlisberger's older. They've got a really good offensive line that's full of guys that are getting a little long in the tooth. Their window might not be as big as it was 2 or 3 years ago. And so I do think that there's going to be at least a discussion in that building. Hey, do we find a way to try to make it work with AB for the next year or two? Because we're in that championship window right now. I think the likelihood is that he gets traded, but I don't think it's any sure thing. And so if he does get traded, I mean, you think you look, the obvious suitors would be San Francisco and Washington. As for Odell Beckham, here's what I would just tell you guys, this isn't a great veteran market when it comes to receivers, and there's not a great draft class coming at the position either. But we're talking about guys like Jamison Crowder and Cole Beasley, like not huge names, Adam Humphries, like kind of like role players that are going to be available at the position. So I do think there are going to be some teams that are going to get creative and make calls on guys like Odell, guys like Julio Jones, guys who are on big contracts where teams might look at it and say, well, what happens if we dangle a 2 and a 3? What happens if we dangle a 1? So I do think that teams that need big time receivers are going to get creative this offseason and ask about some guys you might not expect to be in the market. And they may not even be on the market, but I just think that a lot of those calls are going to be made. I mean, mostly because we've seen teams get more aggressive the last couple of years on the trade market, but also because some of these receivers are on really, really big, on big deals. that teams might be willing to move on from.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you coming on with us today.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.